You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Let's get spooky. You found Earth Station Boo, where horror lives, legends linger, and laughs are always waiting. Stay with us. You know you're dying to listen. And welcome to the Spooky and Kooky podcast, where we talk all things horror. Introducing our horror-holic host with the most, we have our kick-ass Karen.
What up, my horror-holics?
I am your terrifying T, and today we are going to be talking about a now-available IP that has been turned into a horror film, Popeye the Slayer Man. So let's get spooky.
Are you a horror-holic? Then take your horror obsession beyond the podcast. Check out Earth Station Boo's merch store for killer designs to let the world know that you live for the scares. You can also join our Discord and hang out with fellow little ghouls, talk monsters, movies, and midnight madness. And if you want to support the show directly, visit our throne to keep the screams and laughs coming. Find everything in our link tree, and remember, stay spooky.
Life's busy, and it just keeps getting busier. So tune in now to the Cigar Nerds podcast. Figure out what movies are worth your time, what TV shows are worth your time, and most importantly, what cigars are worth your time. Because we review all three with a little bit of science and a little bit of news thrown in. So check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com and on YouTube at Cigar Nerd Podcast.
All right, so Popeye the Slayer Man is part of a string of now available IPs, because the copyright is up, that has been turned into a horror film. There's Steamboat Willie, there's Winnie the Pooh, and now Popeye the Sailor Man. Karen, like, did you grow up with Popeye? And yep. Like, how do you feel about it in comparison to this rendition?
Like, first off, I grew up with Popeye and all the cartoons, like me and my brother did. Mm-hmm. And it's a great, you know, great show. Dark, but great.
Yeah.
Like, we even saw the movie. Like, his favorite is the Robin Williams Popeye, the Sailor Man. Mm-hmm. So Popeye is his favorite character. I don't know why. Like, mine was like, you know, Steamboat Willie. But we all have our, you know, likes and dislikes. And so, you know, seeing a rendition of it, a dark, even darker rendition of it, even though it was dark, but seeing it go darker was actually really fun.
Yeah.
I could tell you right now, I saw it with my brother because I was like, hey, there's a horror version of Popeye. And he was like, what? And so he watched it and he was like, huh. Okay.
Yeah. I definitely grew up watching it. My grandfather loved Popeye. My grandfather was a sailor. So it kind of made sense. It was like, oh yeah, you know, it's his mascot to a certain extent. And he loved spinach too. So it was just one of those deals of like, Grandpa, are you trying to be, you know, Popeye? I don't know. But he loved it. I remember watching it all the time when I was a kid. And you know, my grandmother's like, see, this is why you got to eat your spinach. This is why you have to eat your vegetables.
Okay, so you said your grandmother said if you eat your vegetables, you grow up strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm like, I heard that all my life. Like, you see, you can picture like Popeye, but I'm like, I don't want freakish arms like he does. I mean, I want to be strong, but those big, mm-hmm. huge, you know, forearms.
Those forearms say that he does something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously this started off as a comic, then it became a cartoon. The original comic strips are by E.C. Seeger, were actually quite violent and quite dark in comparison to what most people remember of the cartoon. The cartoon was very like Tom and Jerry, very like, you know, Mickey and Pluto and all that kind of stuff. Like, it was very much like that kind of thing. Did you know a lot of that, like, history of the original cartoon or comic, I should say, going in?
I knew a little bit of history. I knew that, you know, Popeye was actually based or inspired by a real man. Mm. Like, the creator knew the guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. Pretty awesome. And I saw a picture. I'm like, oh, yeah. Ooh, you look like Popeye. I can see the inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was a, like, when you look at the cartoons, they are violent. They are dark. So I knew what I was sort of kind of getting into when I was going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to my surprise, it was dark, if not darker.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew a little bit about the original comic, but I grew up on the more wholesome cartoon version. And even though, like, the cartoon was violent, it was like Wile E. Coyote violent. It was Tom and Jerry violent. It wasn't like Slayer Man violent, which is very definitely like a different feel. But I kind of like that they went darker again. And like, honestly, I'm kind of that person who likes a lot of the old fairy tales and things like that, like the originals, because they were so dark. They were so creepy. They were so like mortifying.
Yeah.
For lack of like a better term. Obviously, it's currently a trend for IPs that have the copyrights expiring, being turned into, from what was once wholesome, to something quite sinister. Things like creepypasta, fan theory sites, Reddit, Tumblr, all that are kind of like reimagining for quite some time. What do you think about, like, why do you think Popeye was kind of perfect for doing this? Taking like that wholesome cartoon that we grew up with and turning it into something dark and sinister?
Well, if you look at the comic strip, the original comic strip, like I said, you'll see the darkness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And even slightly in the, you know, the cartoon, you have your Tom and Jerry, Wile E. Coyote violence. And it was kind of perfect for Popeye, really. I haven't seen the Winnie the Pooh. I haven't seen, they actually came out with a Minnie Mouse one.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that one yet.
They're on our list.
They are. But, you know, it lends really well for Popeye because he is that character that, you know, because he's a sailor and, you know, sailors can get violent.
Yeah.
Any military person, you know, you push them too far, they're going to get violent. My brother was in this, was in the Navy, and he's very mild mannered, very meek until you get him mad and you're like, his voice dropped an octave. Let's give him wide berth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yes.
And it lends really well because, you know, thinking of a sailor, wide berth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, you know, I'm going to have to say it, Donald Duck was kind of like that. He was kind of angry a lot. So,
yeah, angry, rough, tough, you know. Yeah, I think Popeye was kind of perfect for it because there was that original storylines that were on the darker side. But there was always a tone of violence. So it made sense. You know, it kind of was like, okay, all we have to do is just crank up the wattage on that. Like, let's just turn it up 100% and 200%. And boom, we've got decapitations and galore, you know? I thought the plot was a little interesting on, like, why he was as dark as he was. But I think it totally makes sense. Obviously, you know, we talked about the forearms already. Popeye is kind of like everybody knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know him by the one eye, you know him by the arms, you know that he's absolutely in love with olive oil, and you know that, like, he eats his spinach to gain his strength and to become super violent. Do you think Slayer Man was able to recontextualize all of those things in this and kind of like keep like the stereotype of Popeye?
I mean, in a way, he is kind of different from the wholesome, but then, you know, because of how they did his prosthetics in the special effects, you could tell that he's Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
And it made them, you know, in such a way that makes him different from the sweet wholesome is the fact that they umped the bloodshed, because you won't see that in a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I liked about the movie is, you know, yeah, the plot's kind of weird, but once you get past that,
yeah,
and then see Popeye for what Popeye is, you're like, okay, I can see what he's going through.
Yeah.
He lost his family because of this, you know, his job and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's going to be mad at the world.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't much like was the fact that he was going after innocent people as well. I was like, I can see him going after bad people, but what about these innocent people? They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, came upon your home.
But, so would you say that they were effective with the twist of the canonic traits and everything? Like, do you think
they were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think visually, they did a great job making him look like a real life person who would be Popeye the Sailor Man. Kind of wish there would have been a little bit more not hyped up Popeye, because like in the cartoon, he doesn't get all like beefy and everything until he has the spinach. And I know that like he's consistently eating the spinach in this film, but I feel like there needed to be a nod of him where he wasn't beefed up, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been like cherry on top for me personally, and trying to give you like what you remember from the cartoon / comic to what was in this film. And I think they did a great job taking like these canonic traits and twisting them to make effective storytelling for Popeye.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a few plot holes, but it wasn't specifically with Popeye himself. It was like the story overall. But before we get into the story stuff, let's knock the visuals and technical side of this film like out of the way, because this is a low budget film, but Popeye does have the distinct look, especially coming from the very exaggerated stuff. And we kind of talked about how like they definitely did a really good job. What do you think? If things were like toned differently, do you think it still would have passed? Because it was a dark film.
It was.
Like visually.
Visually, it was dark. If they put a little bit more light to it, it probably been somewhat different, more of a action than a horror to me. You know, the prosthetic side, if they made his face a little bit more human,
mm-hmm,
instead of mask, because that threw me off a little bit a couple of times. I'm like, that looks more like a mask than a face. He's giving Michael Myers vibes. Because I couldn't see, like, his eye, his one eye. I know he's supposed to have, like, one eye somewhere up in there.
It did feel like there wasn't an eye. Like a one-eyed cat, almost.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But if they changed, like, the visualization of it, like, if they made it a little bit lighter, put more lighting in it, it would've been more like, you know, of an action thriller than, because you have these kids fighting off a bad guy,
mm-hmm,
a villain, instead of like, you know, a villain being more of a monster. Because with the darkness, you know that Popeye is a monster,
mm-hmm,
the villain / monster. But with the lighting, he's more of a villain instead of the monster side. He's more like the Bond, how are you tonight? You fell into my clutches. So yeah, like,
see, I would say I think he would have been more comedic.
That too.
Had it been lighter. Like, I don't think he would have been as scary.
He wouldn't have been.
I think they used the darkness to give more of a menace than.
He wouldn't be as effective a monster if it was light and bright and sunshiny.
Yeah. I think they used the darker tones of the film and like the way that they shot everything and the lighting and everything to really play it off as he was a monster. Cause you never really got like a good light on his face where you could see his entire face. It was always like half covered at minimum. And I think that kind of took away a little bit. Like, I think I would have personally liked a little bit more, like been able to see his face, but I can understand that it would have given a little bit more of a comedic side to all of it versus the horrific.
Yeah, especially like when you see the prosthetic, when it gets close up and you realize it's a prosthetic, you realize it's a mask.
Mm-hmm.
If you put too much like emphasis on the face or on the headshot, you're like,
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of like the fact that they did the whole framing of the face in the darkness instead of lighting it up to where you're like, oh, it feels like it would feel more Scooby-Doo-ish if you had more light on him.
Now, obviously, he kind of fills a lot of the horror villain checklist, you know, like you brought up Michael Myers and all that kind of stuff. And he kind of has like a slasher vibe without actually being a slasher, because he's not.
Yeah.
He's just using his hands. But how do you think they did with making him a live action horror villain in comparison to that like stereotypical horror villain checklist that we know of?
They did a very good job, in my opinion, because, you know, even though he wasn't a slasher, he used what he had that was available, even if it was his hands.
Yeah.
And that was more, you know, using his hands was more effective than, you know, most slashers would wield. And it also shows that, you know, if he's using his hands, it shows his enormous mutated strength because of the contaminated spinach. So, and he's a stalker.
Yeah.
He's a lurker.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jason and Michael Myers. But what sets him apart for those two is that he'll actually use his hands. He rips somebody's arm off and beat him with it. I mean, he uses what he has available.
I have a whole question to ask you later about that. A whole question to ask you about that later. When I watched that, I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk to Karen about the arm. I just started laughing so hard when that happened.
My brother did too. He was like, what the hell? He's like, all these deaths. What the hell? And I was like, hey, it's Popeye the Slayer Man.
Yeah. Yep.
He's slaying. I'm like, that's not that type of slay. Hey. No, we're talking about slaying. Like, in, I'm going to beat you to death with your own arm.
Still cracks me up. Because that would, like, that scene alone was absolutely hilarious. Like, I had to pause to catch my breath.
I mean, there was, like, some, you know, memorable, like, kill scenes. I was like, that's funny.
Yeah. I think they did a good job hitting a lot of the, okay, he's a horror villain. Let's make him a villain. But they also still kept him, like, human to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But they hit it. The stalking and catching up with people that were running, and he was only walking. The creative kills.
He knows Leia is where he like stalk people from wherever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yep. You're going over there, I'm going to meet you on the other side. Hello. You know how scary that is? Just boop,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
here. Boop, I'm there.
Oh, yeah.
Boop, hey. Dude, get a life.
I mean, he definitely like knocked it out of the park with that like mysterious killing effect. Like they did a great job on that aspect of this. When it comes to the cinematography, the music, the sound, the overall tone of the film, how do you think it worked, especially for it being a low slashed unreally disclosed budget for a horror film?
Yeah, for something that's very low budget, they did a good job, especially with the graph with that. Because I was going in there like thinking, it's not going to be that great. Special effects is going to be horrible. The acting is going to be horrible. Mm-hmm. But it's Popeye the Sailor Man. So my brother would like it because it's Popeye. He's iconic.
Yeah.
And I was really surprisingly, you know, surprised. I was like, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Plot-wise, plot holes, but y'all use, but this is pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, so we obviously got to break down the kills, because the kills, I think, were actually pretty creative in this. You have the first one, which is Miguel, and he was disemboweled. That was not realistic in any way, shape, or form.
No, it wasn't.
However, it was good looking. Like, I won't lie, it was kind of cool looking.
It was.
Like, you literally see, like, only half of him, and, like, the bottom half is almost like tentacles. So it's just, like, intestines coming from every which direction. I'm like, that's not how that would work. And supposedly,
yes, it will. It's movie. It's movie magic.
And supposedly, he did it by hand. It's just one of those deals where I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I got questions. I've got questions.
We all have questions.
Right?
Stand up because it's a movie.
Mm-hmm. Now, he had like a signature move, which was breaking somebody's wrist, but he did it in such a way that it constantly caused bone to pop out from like on the inside of your wrist. How do you feel about that?
He did it like
three times in the movie.
I'm like, that's weird move, but okay, we'll go with it. For me, I'm like, if I'm going to have a signature move here, it's going to be something better than breaking somebody's wrist.
Yeah.
I mean, you have your big, freakishly big arms, like how about, you know, we punch a guy in the face or something and his whole face like caves in.
Yeah.
I mean, you have that enormous strength and you're just gonna break somebody's wrist. No, if I have that strength, I'm gonna pop somebody in the face and maybe shatter his face. That would be my signature move. You like, you let him punch him one good time and then you like pull away and you see the destruction on the the victim's face. That would be my signature move. Yeah.
I think his signature move should have been the ripping the arm off and beating them to death with their arm. But for some reason, like three times, maybe four times in the film, he broke somebody's wrist and it looked the exact same shot multiple times, to the point where I was like, if it wasn't a different character, I would have thought that they reused the footage. Like, it was almost like, no, it was like different characters, and the way it was shot, you could tell it was a different character, but they like set it up the exact same way for each of them. It was one of these deals where I'm like, what is he doing? He also liked doing the skull crush with his bare hands.
Yeah, I mean, that should also be his signature move. I mean, you have that enormous strength. Go ahead and crush a skull like watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did, like, what, once or twice?
They showed him doing it once with Vincent, who was the guy who was tag teaming with Miguel to grab the random chick that was in the warehouse with them. And then it looks like that's what he did to the random woman.
Yeah.
Because, like, you saw his hands coming towards her face. The other skull thing he did was stomping. And that was Angus, the bodyguard guy.
Yeah.
He did scalp somebody.
Yeah, he did.
Go ahead.
That wasn't really impressive.
It really
wasn't impressive. And that scalping looked so fake. And I was like,
yeah.
I don't think that, is that how,
like, that's not how it would have happened.
I don't think that's how it happens. Okay, but we'll I'm going to suspend my disbelief a little bit. Even my brother was like, that's not how that works. I was like,
yeah, when I watched it, I was like, no. But
then she gets crushed, and I was like, well, okay, I can see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, the crushing, I was like, okay, that's legit. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Jesse had their eyes gouged out and then their neck snapped.
Yeah.
Which, the way the eyes were gouged out, I feel like the neck snapping was excessive.
Just in case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of the Mummy, where the dude gets his eyes sucked out and his tongue cut off, you know.
Well, those were cauterized.
It don't matter. The eyes were gone. The tongue was gone. That was a little bit more believable. But, you know, he didn't die. So he had to come back and, you know, kill him to do it again. So I think that was Popeye's reasoning. He's like, you know, even though I popped out your eyeballs, let me go ahead and make sure this, you know, you have to double tap. You know, double tap, just in case.
Double tap. Okay. Let's see here.
So I'm like, they're not going to, like, get vengeance because he's a mutated human.
Who's corrupted by toxic spinach.
Yes.
And this is why we don't eat our spinach, children.
I mean, eat your spinach.
Our canned spinach does not get eaten for a reason.
Yeah, eat your fresh, go grow spinach. Get it frozen.
Yeah. Let's see here. We had Terry, who had his wrist broken. And that was the guy who made it to his car.
Yeah, like, black man, what are you doing?
He almost got away. And then he ended up getting decapitated by a boat anchor.
I know, he almost got away. But I was like, why are you going along with these people? I know you're friends with them, quote unquote, but don't go into some scary place.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go into some nonsense. What are you doing? You kind of deserve that. He kind of did. Because even though I'm friends with these assholes, pricks, motherfuckers, I'm not going to go to a scary rundown warehouse with you. No, I have self-preservation. Let your girlfriend do what she has to do with said movie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to go there. If there's a little bit of haunting, yeah, we all have heard the story.
Yep.
We all have heard it. Why are we going there? Let them die.
Yeah.
Let them die.
Exactly.
Like, stop being worried. Like, I was like, yeah, I know he was an abusive asshole. Joey was an abusive asshole. But at the same time, I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
I know it's a fairy tale, but if they end up not coming back tomorrow, I mean.
Right.
That mean they died.
Right.
They did. They should have stayed away. But no, you're dragging my ass to this? See, he kind of got that. He kind of got that. Like, I was upset. I was like, black man, run. Save yourself. Right? And he did. And then.
But he didn't.
He got killed.
Yeah.
You gotcha.
No, don't worry. I was sitting there cheering him on too. I was like, I'm like, run, man, run. Run, get out of here. But the next two deaths, Popeye wasn't even a part of. They were just two random accidental deaths, and that was Seth and Lisa.
Seth, he was kind of sort of part of it. He didn't kill them himself, but he was running after them. Well, more like stalking after them, and they got freaked the fuck out and tried to get away.
And I mean, impaled himself accidentally, and then she went running and fell off a ledge and impaled herself on top of him.
You know, I don't think that happens like that. I mean, I don't think you just fall in the same spot.
Exactly.
I mean, I could have saw her, like, you know, landing beside him and getting partially impaled by something.
Yeah.
And then keep on going. But to get impaled by the same rebar, I'm like,
And the way that they were impaled, they would have had to have been laying there like that in order for them to have been impaled that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
Physics, people. Like, if you're gonna do kills and special effects, physics. Like, like basic physics. You don't even need the specialty stuff.
No.
Like, you don't need a Sheldon Cooper. you need just the basic stuff. Then obviously there
is. Yeah, because I can see her falling off on the other side of him, like landing on the other side, not just directly on top. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Hell that.
And then we have Joey, the jealous boyfriend.
He deserved
it. Got his arm ripped off and then was beaten to death with his own separate arm. It was absolutely valid. I was like, yes. Gave claps. I was like, all right, rock on. Get him, Popeye. Get him.
He laid hands on his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was abusive. And he had laid hands on him. And yeah, one of it was his hands, you know. But hands were laid that day.
Mm-hmm. As they should be. Yeah. If you're that insecure, go to therapy. Please just go to therapy. Don't be in a relationship. Go to therapy. Like, save everybody the time. Save everybody the hassle. And then this one wasn't a death, but the guy who kind of started it all, Dexter, he did get a broken arm by being attacked by Popeye. So really, Popeye's daughter is the only one who didn't get hurt.
But you know what? I knew it was probably going to be, she was going to probably be related to him. But I'm like, how do you know that's your daughter, dude? You got some sort of sixth sense here going on here?
Mm-hmm. Well, she kind of looked like her mom.
Yeah, but still, I'm like,
yeah,
he hasn't seen you in 18 years. I mean, just because people look alike all the time and they're not related.
This is true.
I have a twin here in my city, but, you know, we're not related. We just look alike. So I'm still confused about that one.
Right? So let's kind of dive in on, like, what makes Popeye the Sailor Man kind of scary. I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but, like, how much of the corrupt nostalgia kind of factored into that fear?
What makes this version of Popeye scary is the fact that you have human greed taking over the consciousness of you know, what's good, what's right, and what's wrong. And in an effect, it affects all the underlings in the corporate machine. Like Popeye's wife, Olive Oil, went missing because she was doing research on the company, and his daughter went missing, and a lot of people got contaminated, and he's been stuck there for years getting contaminated slowly and slowly and slowly before he became Popeye the Slayer Man. And that is such a step away, a large step away from, you know, Popeye the Sailor Man, because in the cartoons, he's more of a comedic character. And with this reimagination of Popeye, it makes him scarier because of all the humanity that is placed in the movie. Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it scary, because in the end of the day, I don't blame him, but I also blame him. But the big factor of it is the way he is, the way he is what he is because of the corporate machine doing what they did. And I think they actually fed his wife to, like, the people.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, how can you have a body missing? Unless they braid her down really well and dumped her in the ocean, or they grind her up and put her in the food.
And if he's learned anything with this podcast, it is definitely that it was probably cannibalism. Especially since the spinach was toxic.
Yeah.
I think they really did play up the taking something that you know and making it something that you can't stop. I think that's what really helped with like the nostalgic corruption type thing. You have this guy who you know is supposed to be the hero. And as you're sitting there and you're expecting him to do the right thing, you see him do this awful stuff, knowing that, like, to a certain extent, he has no control over that. And part of it is because he doesn't know, it seems like. At least that's kind of what they insinuated in the thing, is that he didn't realize the spinach was toxic and that's why he was the way he was. But there's a second film. We may cover it.
Oh yeah, there's two other films.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm eager to see if he was able to reverse the effects of the spinach or not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, most horror things have to draw from stereotypical horror tropes. You know, jealousy, having somebody who's being abusive, the hot-headed boyfriend kind of thing. You have the mysterious girl, the promiscuous students, the misunderstood monster. But how much of all of that do you think added to this film to make it a horror film?
For me, it didn't really add much to it, because you're always going to have that, you know, those tropes in any movie, in any horror movie. Because sometimes they'll take away one and add something else, like, you know, the nerd, mm-hmm. or the jock, or, you know, something like that. What made it more scary is the fact that they took my childhood character and made him into the misunderstood monster. Because
mm-hmm.
you want to know more about his story, like why he was the way he was, and then you found out why he was. That was like the scariest part. Like, I didn't care about the other characters. I'm like, oh, you're the mysterious girl. Oh, you're the nerd. Oh, you're the jock. You're this and that and whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're the lovebirds. I mean, you'll have those stereotypes in any movie. It's kind of hard to like step away from those stereotypes, but it happens.
Yeah.
And you see it in every, like, oh, you're a Sheldon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like I said, for me, it was just Popeye being the monster.
Okay. That makes sense. I feel like we've kind of talked about it before, how horror takes things that are uncomfortable and makes them comfortable, and takes the comfy and kind of twists them and stuff like that. I think the stereotypical horror tropes give you that normality that you can cling to. So they're like the comfy parts of things that then has like all the scary stuff happen around it. Like the abusive boyfriend, like you're sitting there, you know, through most of the movie going like, dude, she's obviously not fucking the nerd. Leave her alone. Like, what is your fucking, like, what's your deal? But then you also have like the mysterious girl who pops up. And so you're like, well, obviously she's connected to the killer somehow. And so like, it kind of gives you a way to like connect to the film, because it's normal. It's easy to connect to. And I think they played into those tropes quite a bit in order to make other parts of it scary. But I don't think it was, those tropes are why it was scary, if that makes sense. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Okay. We always talk about the psychological side of it all. How do you think this film hits the psychological, mental thing that we always kind of end up looking for when it comes to these films?
What I was looking for really from this film was a good story. Psychologically, I wanted to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And then I got to see, you know, the daughter reunite with her father. And I was like, oh, even though it was brief. Oh,
yeah.
And then there was the kills. I got really good, you know, satisfaction with some of the kills. Some of them I was like, oh, whatever. And it was actually really comfortable. Like the film kind of made me comfortable. Like, you know, you have your comfy films.
Yeah.
And it the film made me comfy, you know. I mean, not saying horror movies or murders comfy, comfortable, but it was like a comfort film for me.
I mean, you are talking to a fellow horror-holic that is like, no, I love scary movies. I fall asleep to them. So I get it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I fall asleep to true crime. But, oh my God. But, you know, it hits me in such a way that I long for that nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologically, I long for, you know, grounding. And mm-hmm. in the way this is what the movie did, it kind of grounded me. And I got to see a little bit of aspects of, you know, a father. And I watched it, you know, about a year after my dad died. And so it kind of had an effect on me because you have this girl looking for her father. And mm-hmm. her father turns out to be a monster. And in a way, it was me like, I wanted to see my daddy again. Yeah. But I know he's dead. And he's not a monster. He's just dead. And so, you know, it hit harder than I thought it would. But it was a comfortable movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was something I needed at that point, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, it was like, my psychology, I needed it. I needed something to ground me.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense.
And it was very effective on that. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going in for good horror, maybe, with some good effects. And, you know, in the end of the day, because of that one little part, I was like, I was very comfortable and I was very grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed the comfort movie. I didn't know I needed it at the time, but, you know, yeah.
I think what works for the psychological side of horror is that even though it draws on things that come from reality, there is an edge of it that isn't real. And you're able to kind of like understand that to a certain extent. But depending on your walk in your life, there's always going to be something that you can connect to that you wouldn't necessarily connect to if you hadn't gone on the path that you had gone. So like for you, like the father-daughter relationship in the movie, it hit you in a way that you were like, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting that. You know, recently I've had a friend who got out of a toxic relationship. So that, you know, that abusive relationship ending was like, oh, okay. Like if she watched this, she would connect with this. I talked about how it reminded me of my grandfather because he loved Popeye. And so to see it in a way that he probably be like, that's not my Popeye. Popeye is a good guy. Like he would have probably clung on to the fact that, you know, oh, he's doing all this bad stuff because the spinach was bad. The spinach was toxic and like it messed with him. To be able to look at it from multiple points of views and see how you can connect to the film, I think it's great. It gave a lot of angles.
Yeah.
So let's theorize. What do you think the spinach is actually doing to him?
They really didn't. Did they name the contaminant? I don't remember. I just know that the spinach was contaminated.
Yeah.
It depends on like, what it was contaminated with. It would explain his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is that he had a mixture of lead poisoning and mercury poisoning.
Okay.
That's why he went slowly crazy. Now, I don't know if he was that big before, you know, the spinach. I mean, maybe the spinach kind of did mutate him. Had more, you know, particles or something that we don't know about. And that's how he became that big. Or maybe he was, you know, that's how big he was. And it just kind of gave him ungodly strength. But I always thought, you know, when I was watching it, the contamination was lead and mercury poisoning. And that's why he was losing his mind. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of different types of metal poisoning does something to you.
Yeah. I think there was multiple contaminants. Because he had like bouts of clarity. Like when he saw his daughter, yeah. he was like, oh, you're my kid. And like seemed to understand when she was like, stop eating the spinach. Get out of here, dad. Like he seemed to like be like, oh, yeah, cool. Sounds great. And so for me, I'm like, it has to be like a mixture of contaminants. But I really don't think, because there's multiple films after this, I don't think that he ever got back to normal. But I do think it mutated his brain to a point where he's kind of dumb, but not an idiot, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it kind of fogs his brain to where he's like not really,
almost primitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about it before, about how like we're kind of in a renaissance in horror, and we talked about how we're kind of interested to see what this new age of horror is going to be kind of named after. Like the atomic age is obviously named after the atomic bomb and all the like the sci-fi type of horror that was coming out. The slasher era, obviously, because of slasher movies. So how do you think movies like Popeye and Pooh and Steamboat Willie are going to define this time frame?
I mean, if they continue to make movies that lost their copyright, it could be a hit or miss, really. Because mm-hmm. I know I enjoyed Popeye the Slayer Man. I really did. I haven't seen the others. And one of my friends said, Karen, don't you do it. Don't you do it with a Winnie the Pooh. It's going to make you mad. But I want to reserve that judgment for myself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take nostalgic characters and horrify them, that's a good subgenre right there.
Mm-hmm.
Nostalgic horror. I mean, could you imagine Tom and Jerry as horror? I mean, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
And then you have like, you know, the Looney Tunes. Yeah, I could see some of them as horror characters.
Mm-hmm.
Flintstones. Yeah. Oh yeah. You're in the primitive age? Yeah, that's gonna be like Jurassic type level mm-hmm. horror right there.
Oh yeah.
So I would call this like this phase a nostalgic horror. Cartoon mm-hmm. nostalgic horror.
Yeah. I think it definitely is going to, I feel like we're gonna have a short era that is going to be known as like, yeah, nostalgia horror, copyright free IP horror. I don't know. Like there's going to be a specific name for it, but I do think it's going to be a thing because unfortunately there's a lot of stuff that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff that is losing its copyright that people are going to have free fucking reign on. And, you know, yeah, some of it's going to piss us off because it's like, you didn't have to do that. But then at the same time, there's going to be a ton of stuff that's like Popeye here where we're like, okay, that wasn't half bad. I could be kind of down for this. Do you think that there should be or is an ethical line when it comes to taking these kind of like beloved, wholesome childhood characters and reimagining them as horror icons? And if there is a line, where do you think that line lays?
I mean, for me, if the character is chronically shown in a light of good, like from the first renditions, I wouldn't horrify them. But if it's like, if you know the story is dark, like if you know Grim Fairy Tales are dark,
mm-hmm.
and you can amplify it in any way, yeah, go ahead and do that. But if that character has always been a good character, that's my line. I'm like, don't you make that good character horror? No, I will always believe that little sugar plum is precious. That's what I'm going to believe.
Do you think that people would have that issue with Popeye if they didn't know about the...
I mean, if they didn't know about the comic, yeah, they're going to have an issue with it. But if they're as old as me and you, they will probably know, oh, yeah, Popeye was kind of dark. Like, even my brother knew Popeye was kind of dark. And so he went into it, like, you know, full steam ahead. Because he was like, I like Popeye. We'll watch it. Yay.
Yeah.
But like Steamboat Willie was kind of dark. I don't think Minnie Mouse was dark, in my opinion. But they made a horror movie about her, and I was kind of like, mm-hmm. no. I mean, Pinocchio is dark. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. that story is dark as hell. I mean, come on, a little wooden boy wants to become a real boy, and then there was all these other weird shit. No, that's dark. Any of the Grimm fairy tales is dark. I mean, Disney kind of like, you know, Disney-fied it to make it not dark. But I'm like, that's dark, dude.
I mean, even
that's dark.
Even some of Hans Christian Andersen stuff, like The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
She stitched her legs together. Like, come on. I think if they do it similar to how they did it here with Popeye, where it is something else has corrupted him. I think it could work. But I think it also needs to be something that is not marketed for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there needs to be a very clear line of this is not appropriate for children.
Yeah.
With what we're doing with the character. And for me, that's where the ethical line needs to be, is that I've heard people complain about Five Nights at Freddy's because it feels like it's being marketed to children. And, you know, it's definitely a PG-13 movie, you know, or up kind of thing. So I can get that. I can sit there and say, okay, you know, definitely make sure that this is not marketed for younger children.
I mean, even if it wasn't marketed for younger children, I still see people going to movie theaters. Not for a kid. It's like, oh no, it's based off of this and this. I'm like, just because it's based off of a comic book doesn't mean it's for kids.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, a lot of people got upset about Deadpool.
Yeah.
When they're like, that was inappropriate. And it's like, okay, first of all, you obviously never read the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, like, they did not lie to you in any of the trailers. They made it quite clear this was not your Captain America comic book movie. This was not a Spider-Man comic book movie. This was Deadpool. But then that, to me, is on the side of the morons who go out and see it. I think there just has to be a very clear, yeah, this is Snow White, but homegirl's fucking insane. You know, like, make it clear that this is not your, you know, your Disney comfort, you know, Snow White or Winnie the Pooh or, you know, whatever it happens to be. If you could cast a major horror director to make the official Popeye the Slayer Man film, who would it be? And what do you think, like, their version would look like?
I mean, I could see John Carpenter doing it.
Okay.
He'll use more practical effects. He'll probably make Popeye a little bit more realistic looking.
Mm-hmm.
He'll still probably keep the dark undertone. He'll probably, like, you know, make it more of a mystery. Like, you know, with the thing. Like, mm-hmm. are you infected or are you not infected? He'll probably keep you guessing on your toes. Like, you won't see Popeye that much. You'll see people dying. And every so often, you'll see, like, a silhouette. And it'll be, you know, that's how I see it, if John Carpenter did it. And it'll be more horror.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be any camp to it. It'll be horror, back to back. You'll be on the edge of your seat, like, who the hell is killing these people?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you know, because it's kept in a localized place, it even amplified the horror.
Mm-hmm.
So he already has an isolated place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when he did the thing, it was like, isolated place.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably have, you know, full range of the whole warehouse. Because you only got to see a bit of the warehouse. You didn't get to see the full range of it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's supposed to be a production plant. Like, there's so much to it.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, the deaths will probably be a little bit more creative.
Mm-hmm.
At least a little bit more realistic. But he still has to keep the one with the ripping off Joey's arm and beating him to death with it. That has to stay in there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I personally think Eli Roth actually could do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not normally a huge Eli fan. But with what he did with Thanksgiving, I think he could do it. If he had, like, that attempt towards these, I think he could actually do, like, a whole series and do a fairly decent job. Because he has, like, that campiness that I think taking a nostalgic cartoon character needs, but he can still make it gory. He can still have the creative kills that are ridiculous and all that. If Popeye was in a shared universe with another terrifying villain, like another beloved cartoon character that's turned into a terrifying villain, who would it be?
Hmm. Does it have to be, like, licensed or unlicensed?
Whoever. I'm not going to put the real world rules on you when it comes to that.
If he were to be in another horrified character, I could probably see him with Pinocchio, because they're Pinocchio at one point goes onto a sea adventure,
mm-hmm.
an ocean adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see that interaction because, you know, Popeye is a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
See him, how he would react to what's going on around him. Is he going to kill everybody or is he going to, mm-hmm. like, you know, try to save people or do both? You know,
yeah.
I'll kill all the bad people, save all the good people. But in a way, he'll make him an anti-hero. But still, you still can make horror out of an anti-hero.
Yeah, absolutely. I would actually want him to do, like, be kind of part of the Hanna-Barbera crew and, like, have, like, a bunch of the Hanna-Barbera characters turned horror. I know that there was, what was it, Cartoon Network in their Adult Swim era, they had Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, and they took a bunch of the different Hanna-Barbera characters and modernized them a little bit. I would love for them to do something like that. And I feel like Popeye would fit better with all of that than like the Disney stuff. And it's not because it doesn't work with Disney. I just feel like it was too campy to be like Disney. Like, I just feel like he had a little bit more, I don't know, more of like a Hanna-Barbera kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But like the Jetsons come back in time and are like, we have zombies in the future and it's all because of the toxic spinach, you know, like, I don't know, something like that. I think that would be kind of fun. Before we wrap up, do fan films kind of deserve a little bit more critical attention in the horror context after seeing this film?
Oh, yeah, I think so, because sometimes you'll have a good banger of a movie or a good comfort of a movie. It depends on, like, you know, how well acted, written, and all that is. I think we should pay attention to these like little fan-made films. I mean, look at Iron Lung.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Markiplier.
It did really well. Yeah, Markiplier's Iron Lung. So I think we should give, you know, at least fan-made films some of their little just dues, because they're made by, you know, people who love horror.
Yeah.
And yeah, even though it's low budget, sometimes you can't have a good banger of a movie that's low budget.
Yeah.
You have to start out somewhere, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't just be all big budget and shit.
Totally agree. I think, especially in today's day and age where there is so much that is a remake, a reboot, a reimagining of whatever, I think having it be done by the fans is so much better than some stupid studio exec who's going, oh, I have an idea. This was really popular and this made us millions of dollars. Let's just redo that. Like, I would love for it to be, you know, a fan who goes, here's what you guys missed the first time you did this. Here's what you should do to really amplify it. And so personally, I love the idea of us doing the creepypasta films, doing the fan films. And I think they should get a little bit more critical attention because there is quality there that you don't necessarily always see in the bigger films,
mm-hmm.
because they're so, I feel like sometimes the bigger films are a little so cookie cutter, you miss out on the creative side of it all. But
yeah,
it is that time. We're going to do our final thoughts and our skull rating. If you're new here, we do 1 through 5 skulls. 1, because they tried. 5, because it was actually that fucking good. So Karen, what are your final thoughts on Popeye the Slayer Man?
I mean, I would give it like a 3.5. It's not like the best horror movie out there, but it's a comfort movie that I don't mind putting on as a background noise. I like some of the kills. I like the special effects that they used. They could have worked on Popeye a little bit more. Like I said, his face looks like a mask. They could have like integrated, like, you know, a little bit more humanistic face to it, instead of looking like a mask. The story, it was okay. It's just a generic story.
Yeah.
Boy likes girl. Boy likes mysterious girl. Some other boyfriend's mad that girlfriend has to do this project and blah, 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 and shit ensues. But, you know, all in all, it's a good movie. I don't mind keeping it in the background. And sometimes, you know, depending on what kills going on, I'll watch it, especially the arm being ripped off and Joey being beaten with it.
Yeah. I mean, that was chef's kiss. I'm not going to lie. That was absolutely chef's kiss. I would give it a 3.5. I would be in that same range as you. I think the special effects were not as great as they could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, with a possibly $10,000 budget, they were actually pretty decent. But at the same time, like, a little unrealistic. The blood didn't look quite correct. You know, I am nitpicking a little bit on it, but it's one of those deals of, I like it when we use real fake blood. I like it when, you know, things have like a little bit of a more realistic thing to it, especially when they kind of go in swinging like they're trying to be a really like serious film.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a few things where I, like plot hole wise, I was like, I think you guys could have done that a little bit better. But overall, it wasn't a horrible film. It's definitely something I would rewatch, especially if somebody I know who likes Popeye hasn't seen it, be like, ooh, come with me. We need to sit down and watch this. Our fellow horaholics, we want to hear from you. Did Popeye the Slayer Man ruin your childhood, or did it make it better? Come, let us know. But Karen, where can they find you?
You can find me at Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, formerly known as Twitter, Reddit, and TikTok.
And I am Spill Tea. You can find me on all the things at Spill Tea Wine Media Mind. Literally, you type that in, you'll find me. I'm on all the things, including Twitch. But thank you so much for letting us ruin, absolutely ruin Popeye for you tonight. And honestly, you're welcome. We have the best listeners in the horror game, and we are so grateful for each and every single one of you. Please don't forget to subscribe, follow, rate, and share the podcast. It helps fellow horrorholics like yourselves find us. We do want to hear from you. So like, let us know how you felt about this film. You can drop it in the comments. You can slide into our DMs. You can email us at earthstationboo@gmail.com. Come join the conversation in our Discord and find all of our links at linktree.com/earthstationboo. And don't sleep on the merch. We got some really cool stuff. I love our beanies. I love our hoodies. They're amazing. Every Tuesday, we have a new episode. And Sunday nights at 8 p.m., we are trying to do movie nights in the Discord. So stay weird, stay spooky, our fellow horrorholics.
That's a wrap for Earth Station Boo. Thanks for listening. Follow, share, and find all our links in our link tree. Until next time, stay spooky.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.